Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would now increase our faith through them. Amen. As a pastor, I've had a number of times when I was asked to ride in the hearse with the funeral director. And it is a strange sensation to be in a vehicle, and right behind you is the body of the person that you're going to be doing for their committal. And one time when I was in Florida, I was in a hearse driving along with the funeral director was driving, and he started conversation with me about being a pastor, and I started asking him questions about being a funeral director. And I said, what is it like for you to be working with death all day long? That's, you know, just every day, your occupation, dealing with dead bodies. And he said, at first it was a little unusual, but I've gotten used to it through the years, and that's probably true of a lot of different jobs. And he said, it's really never gotten to me, but about a year ago, he said, I had a strange situation. There was apparently a bad car accident. A man had been drunk, and he had his three-year-old daughter in the front seat with him with no seatbelt on, got into an accident, and the little girl was killed. And he said, I, at the time, had a three-year-old daughter myself. And as I took care of her body, he said, that was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. He said, I cried through the whole thing, just cried through the whole thing. But then he said, the next day, the father died in the hospital, and his body was brought in. And he said, that was hard on the other end of the spectrum. I was so angry and mad at him. He said, I cried through that procedure as well. Death really has a way of kind of gripping us and making everything in this world suddenly come to a stop. My grandfather was on a ship once coming back from Norway in 1914, and apparently on this trip, I read a letter that was translated later on this trip, there were two people that died on the voyage back across the Atlantic, and because he was a pastor, he was asked to officiate for two people he didn't know that they took out onto a plank and just tipped it and dropped the body all wrapped up down into the ocean. Makes you wonder all of the different places in the world where there might be dead bodies that are just unseen to us and unknown to us. They claim Lake Superior. Nobody has any idea how many people possibly have died if you go back into the Native American community and things. So death is all around us. It's something that even though it is contrary to the nature God created, which was for us to be alive, death is all around us because of the fall into sin. And it's such a constant presence. Be interesting for you to think about how far do you have to go from your house before you reach a cemetery. For me, it's two blocks, and the biggest one in Mankato is about eight blocks away from me. How death is just around our city and all around us all the time. And sometimes its presence in our world can become kind of overwhelming. There were a number of nurses and doctors during COVID that just couldn't take it anymore and resigned. Some retired early. They claimed that during the Black Plague in Italy that they had typically rung bells in cities when someone died. But during the Black Plague, it was happening so frequently that people couldn't sleep at night. And they finally asked everybody to stop ringing bells when someone died. Well, because of its presence, and because it's something that is so intimidating to us, understandably, Because of its presence in the world, sometimes we try to hide ourselves from it, or maybe particularly hide children from it. A lot of parents don't want their children to have to kind of see death and to know what's going on with it. News stations oftentimes will either not show footage of death or will warn that there's some graphic content that is coming. There's an attempt by us as human beings to shield ourselves from having to face it head on because it's so difficult. But that's not how God deals with death in the Bible. God is very upfront about it. In fact, one of the earliest chapters in the Bible has the word death in it more than anything else. And throughout the entire scriptures, we're not shielded from it. God doesn't kind of circumvent the subject or try to kind of get around it from a different way or anything. No, he deals with it head on. The Holy Spirit, through all of the writers of the scripture, deals head on, facing death right up front and all of its circumstances. And the reason he can do that and does that for us is because he knows that we have such a clear answer to it. Such a simple, clear antidote to this problem of death. And that's to be found in our Savior. It's kind of like a medical doctor who maybe has now diagnosed somebody with a potentially deadly disease, but the cure is 100% to take care of it. He has no trouble telling the person about their condition, knowing that he has the cure. God has no problem telling us about the reality of death that's in our world because he holds such a simple, easy cure for us. Just have confidence and trust in what his Son has come to do. Just put our faith and trust in our Lord Jesus, who has defeated this horrible enemy for us. And so throughout the Bible, God continually puts little stories in that show us how easily he controls death. How easily he manages it and has the supreme power over it. Think of the story of the young man of Nain, whose body is being brought out on a coffin. And his sad mother, who's also a widow, is crying next to that. I just love little things that God puts in his word about these. Luke tells us that Jesus went up and touched the coffin, just kind of stopped the whole procession. And then lifts this man up back to life. This widow was standing there at the time, not sure exactly who this man probably was and all of that. Martin Luther has a great line. He says, "The merciful deeds of God overtake us without our merits even before we seek them." She didn't even know to ask for this. And yet here, Jesus, we're told he was moved with compassion for her, and he comes up, stops the procession, and raises this man back to life. Think about the story of the raising of Jairus' daughter, little girl. And I love that little detail that the gospel writers put in, that Jesus took her by the hand. He just gently put his hand into this little girl's dead hand and just speaks a couple words to her and powerfully brings her back to life. And then I love this detail. He says to the people in the room, "Get her something to eat." Isn't that just awesome? Get her something to eat. That's how simply the powerful God of heaven can control this enemy that seems so intimidating to us. Or maybe at Jesus' own resurrection. I always wonder, how did that cloth get folded up so neatly that was in his grave? Here he had conquered death and done it in such an easy fashion that he even had the time, or maybe had one of the angels take the time, to just gently fold up that cloth and put it where he once had been. Think what a powerful statement that is to the powers of hell, right? The very sheet that covers my face, I can take and just fold it up gently and put it where death once took my life. And notice how easily and gently Christianity throughout the scriptures addresses the death of a believer. Just look at some of the words in our text. Paul uses the expression about those who are sleeping. I think that's about the easiest thing you can get, right? Sleeping. Could he have found a better, more comforting way to talk about death than to call it sleep? He says we will be changed suddenly. This isn't going to be some long, drawn-out, difficult process. In the twinkling of an eye, something we don't even know what that means. It's so fast. That's how quickly God can just take us from death to life. Raised up, he says, we will be incorruptible. There's no effort involved in this or any power on our part. It's all being done by God. He says we will be putting on incorruption and putting on immortality. Just like as easy it is for you to get up in the morning and put a shirt on. That's how the resurrection is described to those who have faith in Christ, how easily and simply God can deal with it on our behalf. And the Bible talks about us being carried up to Abraham's side by angels. I always wonder, what was it like to be like Lazarus or that young man of Nain or Jairus' daughter? The next meal they got to eat. Can you imagine the kind of banquet and celebration that their family had for them, having been risen back to life again? Think what a feast that probably was, to be able to sit and the discussions, the conversations that they had. I bet they were asking, what was it like? What was it like for you to all of a sudden be brought back to life again and things? But that's just a tiny picture of what it's going to be like for those who trust in Christ in heaven, when we experience the full resurrection of our bodies. Think of the discussions that we are going to have at the feast of salvation, at the feast of the Lamb in heaven, the one who died for all of our sins, and the one who rose again victoriously to give every one of us that future life. I wonder what those conversations are going to be like. Live for that. Amen.